This ain't pretty. It is what it is. You bring it up, cognitive dissonance. Well, see, brother, you don't understand, brother. That's your brother in the Lord. We should be praying for them. You want to pray for them? I'll tell you what you pray. That they be born again. Because they ain't even saved yet. Now, you hear what he just said? That'll make people go crazy, what I just said. Because if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. God's not inviting the world to any festivals called an a mega fest. You need to be born again, man. All the preaching, all the histrionics, all the appearances on Oprah and CNN and Fox News, all the appearances on the cover of Time, T.D. Jakes can run around from here to Timbuktu preaching what he says is the gospel, and still he needs to be born again. See how the devil will make a fool out of you? The Bible says you traverse land and sea to make another convert, another proselyte. Running hither, thither, and yonder with a false gospel, thinking you're doing God a favor and you're operating under the auspices of the Spirit. But he that is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. It's not going to change for anybody. Religion is a monster. It's stomping all over the planet, doing a lot of religious works, not benefiting anybody. And I'm seeing that somebody angry for saying it and judgmental and accusing God's prophets and do my prophets no harm. People write me talking about I'm cursed for saying this. You're cursed for touching God's anointed. One brother told me, he said, listen, one thing I know, you're there just on the internet with a little crowd listening to you. He's on the cover of Time magazine, and Huffington Post is writing articles about him, and CNN is interviewing him. In contrast to you, what are you doing? That's the religious mind. There's a dead Jew on the cross, and the Pharisees are sipping wine and living in palaces. But the dead Jew on the cross is the man.
Amen.
See how the devil will make you religiously deceived?
Yep.
You'll think the glamour, the glitz, and the bright lights is God. But he comes two of a field, one or two of a city, a thief in the night to get out his elect, and nobody even knows he's doing it. Look what he says. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. It's not neutral. You better get this down in you. Everybody doing evil hates the light. The light is truth. The truth is light. Whenever you tell the truth, those that are doing evil will hate the truth. And they'll hate you for telling it. Get it down in you, man. I can't harp on it strong enough. You'll go out there thinking it's going to be all right. You can say what you want to say. Pink slips are going to be handed out for telling the truth. They're doing evil. They hate the light. Neither come to the light. This is a religious city. They're not coming to the light. Lest his deed should be reproved or exposed. But he that doeth what? You see how truth and light are synonymous? He that is doing truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought or worked in God. You don't have any problem with truth. You'll come to the light. Because I'm in the Lord, I'm born again. The truth don't bother me not one inch. If he hit me with something I didn't know or I was deceived in, I'm quick to repent. I see it. Hey, look, I'm changing right now. Where's the nearest altar? I'm aligning myself with whatever God says. I'm changing right here, right now. Resistors of the truth go through hell because they just won't bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Frank Sinatra trying to do it my way. Hard road to hoe, man. You got a hard life in front of you fighting against God. It's hard, the Bible says, to kick against the pricks. one man that came against religion with some vim and vigor in Acts chapter 6 and 7. Stephen. Remember, Stephen was chosen in Acts chapter 6 as a deacon. He was chosen as a deacon in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. It says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, the church, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Religion. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned. What does suborn mean? They hired men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Religious. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Religion. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then you know Stephen, read it in chapter 7, he preached a sermon outlining everything from Moses' life and Joseph and what happened to him, his brothers. He came down the whole lineage of the Jewish history, telling them all about Jesus Christ and how Abraham was chosen. He went through the whole dialogue about what happened to the Jews and everything. He says, he gets back down to verse 51 in chapter 7. He ends his whole discourse with these words. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. You're judging. That spirit is still alive and well right now. They get offended because they're accused by God. Everybody that's not born again and saved is guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is relieving you of the guilt of God's Son being crucified because you are identified with the Gentiles that killed him if you're not born again. When they heard these things, they were what? Cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, these are the intellectual people in the religious synagogue. These are the learned people, the scholars, the dignitaries, biting on this young boy like mad dogs, like ravening wolves. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's religion, man. It's a monster. What does religion hate more than anything else? The Antichrist spirit, which means anti-Messiah, which means anti-Holy Ghost, the anointing. It hates the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what religion hates. When somebody comes under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it can't stand you. Most religions are void of any identification with the Holy Ghost. That's why a Holy Ghost-filled believer is the one that is seen as the ultimate enemy of all religion. Because the Holy Ghost sets you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I've been liberated from religion. I'm not under your yoke. You spend time cultivating the presence of the Holy Ghost in you by praying in the Spirit all day, bathing your mind in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, you'll stop being religious. You'll stop play acting and running around trying to look like something outwardly to people. Because you'll do what? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and it'll be inner peace for you finally, instead of outward performance. Inner peace will always trump and transcend outward performance. Religion is outward conformity and outward performance. The sanctification of relationship is inner peace. I don't have to do anything and perform anymore. I know I'm in. I'm accepted in the beloved. I don't have to look like, act like, put on a show for people. It's over for me. What's happening? Ezekiel 21. Ezekiel 21. Religion. It's a dirty monster. It's a killer. It will destroy you if you let it. You got to come out of here and let religion go. It hates God. It cannot do anything but despise God. It's conditioned by the devil to be a surrogate or a replacement of God, so you never get to God. Ezekiel chapter 21. Take a very close look at verse 18 in Ezekiel chapter 21. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, also, thou son of man, appoint thee two ways, that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain shall come forth out of one land, and choose thou a place, choose it at the head of the way to the city. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Raboth of the Ammonites, and to Judah and Jerusalem the defensed. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways, to use divination. He made his arrows bright. He consulted with images. He looked in the liver. He's a witchcraft worker, a sorcerer. Religion is a Babylonian influence. It's bathed in sorcery, manipulation, and control. Most preachers in the pulpit are sorcerers, assigned by the devil to limit the advancement of the Christian, so you stay in Babylon. They operate just like pimps. Well, they are an enslaved bunch of prostitutes. His little herd, his little tribe of prostitutes that he controls through sorcery and emotional manipulation. That's how they control the church. And the people in the confines of that religious bondage will defend the pimp. Prostitutes, they always defend the pimp. They are the pimp's horses that he rides to make money. They're just like a horse running the Kentucky Derby. That's why they call the prostitutes a what? A stable. They're a stable. All the church folks are just pimped prostitutes. The Bible says you'll have a whore's forehead, and you depend on the pimp, so you defend the pimp. See, your identity has come through the pimp. I'm Mac Daddy G's girl. I'm one of his girls. Well, I'm Pretty Boy Johnson's girl. You're on the corner next to another girl. You represent Mac Daddy G, and she represents Pretty Boy Florida, whoever. And now we in competition for the corner, seeing whose body going to attract the John. And all my money going back to Mac Daddy G, because I'm one of his girls. And proud of it. Pimped out whores in the church, in the pews, are proud of being pimped. I'm a world changer. Creflo is my pimp. Well, Eddie Long's my pimp. You know what I am. Teeny Jace is my pimp. Creflo Dollar, you know he's got a master player over him, Kenneth Copeland. So we got a big time stable. So Kenneth Copeland may be a billionaire now. Because he got a lot of churches under him. He had a big stable built with underling pimps that got stables. And everything's flowing upstream to the big time player in the big house. Don't you know the whole world is nothing but a slave camp?
That's right.
a concentration camp. It's a prison camp. So the devil hates for you to get free. And people just cling to being a prisoner with both hands. Both hands hanging on tight to being a slave and a prisoner. And a prostitute and a whore for these big time pimps in the church. They hate for people to tell this. Even folks coming forth now claiming to tell the truth. They still follow the pimp player paradigm. Talking about the queen of the south and talking about the extraterrestrials and talking about all this stuff and still following that same pimp player paradigm where the personality of the pimp becomes the main thing that structures the church and everybody pimped out trying to follow a personality man. Personality pimping. Instead of you ingesting the word, letting it transform you to become a vessel fit for the master to use to go out and personally represent Jesus Christ to bring this gospel to bear on the masses yourself, not being pimped out by anybody. They hate to hear this. Both the pimps and the prostitutes hate to hear it because I don't want personal responsibility and accountability. My pimp is responsible for the stable. He puts us some slop in the trough every night to eat. And I'm living in this big house with 30 other girls. And that's all I know. I don't even expect anything more than this. I've been a pimped out whore my whole life. And I got the mind of a whore. And I don't even think about a fabricated in my thinking. Freedom and being an individual, being whole, being meaningful, being an elect person that God has chosen. Because I've been pimped so long. I migrate to the industrial complex every day down to the job, pimped out hoe. Look at them on the job, being pimped, telling on you. You know, Lucy was in the break room, Mr. Johnson, and I can't my break at 10:15, just like y'all told us. She's still in there by the soda machine drinking a drink. They was in their car right before break, too. And I think they went out there early. I saw them on their cell phone. Mr. Johnson. You just want to slap them. Just, you dumb. What's wrong with you? Looking for brownie points. Pimped out. When you pimped out, you the worst case scenario in any environment. Look what he says. At his right hand was the divination for Jerusalem to appoint captains to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast them out and to build a fort. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight to them that have sworn oaths, but he will call to remembrance the iniquity that they may be taken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have made your iniquity to be remembered in that your transgressions are discovered, so then all your doings, your sins do appear, because I say that you are come to remembrance, you shall be taken with the hand. And you profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off his crown, and take off the crown, this shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it. And it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. That's God talking. Saying all this religious rulership, don't worry. I'm going to overturn it. And I will overturn it until the person comes that's been ordained by me, God, to do what I told him to do. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. God is going to overturn this mess. Religion is a monster confronting and standing against God. God is sick of it. He's going to overturn it. Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give it you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand you here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Pay the last ones first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Why? They're self-righteous. We deserve more because we've been out here laboring longer. Saying these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not you agree with me for a penny? Take that is yours and go your way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will of my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. Why? Because many are called, but few are chosen. All the chosen are equal. Whether you came in early or late, you're all the same in Christ. You get the same reward. But self-righteous people don't like that. They think that it should be a stratified reward based on how long I've been in it. So you see a lot of old people resist newly born again folk. They don't like the fact that you come in and get it. God powers you up and endows you with power. You get the Holy Ghost. Notice how some young people get the Holy Ghost before old folk? Because they don't let stuff go. But the young person came in and divested themselves of everything and got filled. And then the old person sitting there mad at the young person because they got power and the gifts are operative, while the old person sat there mean and angry as a rattlesnake and can't receive anything. What's happening? God is overturning this thing, and the last are coming in first. He's going to change up order in the church. What's going to happen? Psalm 12. I'm sorry, make it Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Psalm 126, I'm reading this because last week I received a message from Africa. A young preacher over there sent me a message and said, Pastor Price, the Lord told me to tell you this. Said, the Lord told me he came by your house this week, and when he came by, he took all the problems with him and left you with no problems. It's over, and everything's about to turn around, and it's going to work out just fine. It's going to be all right. He said, just wait. It's already done, and God has removed the barriers. Then he said, just read Psalm 126. So I went to Psalm 126, and it says this. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord have done great things for them. The heathen, seeing God set the church free, said, you know, the Lord is doing great things for these folk. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or his harvest with him. He's going to overturn it. He's going to overturn it. Psalm 30. Psalm 30, the last scripture we'll read today. Psalm 30. Verse 5. For his anger endures but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, the old saying is, it's not a true saying, but it's an old saying, is always darkest before the dawn. It's not really darkest before the dawn. It's darkest when there's no moon out. But the saying is all about, it looks real bleak before you get a breakthrough. And that's true. Before a breakthrough, there's a weeping that endures for the night, but then God's joy will spring forth in the morning. What's going on? God is overturning the church. What's happening? While you see all the billowing smoke and all the veneer of churchianity, which is just religion, you know in yourself instinctively that the folks in leadership are the wrong people.
Yes.
You know that. I'm not telling you a tale out of school. You know good and well that T.D. Jakes is the wrong guy to be sitting on Fox News and CNN talking about God. And then you got all these church folks microscopically examining everything Bishop Jakes is saying, and he's a man of God, and analyzing, and did you hear what he said about the homosexuals? Well, Jakes came back and recanted and made it clear what he meant, so now you're still not satisfied with what he said, and he's the wrong guy. We use plainness of speech. We tell them straightforwardly what thus saith the Lord, and we don't blink. Joel Osteen is the wrong guy. Creflo Dollar is the wrong guy. Juanita Bynum is the wrong woman. Paula White is the wrong woman. He's got to overturn. And he's going to overturn. And he's going to overturn it and give it to him whose right it is. That's the problem. You got the wrong folks representing God, because they ain't representing God, they're representing religion, and the devil is defining what is and is not God. This is not even God. Before there's a David, there's a Saul. This boy out here tending the sheep, he's the king of Israel. He was poured oil, oil was poured on this boy's head, tending sheep. He was the king as soon as Samuel anointed him. He was the king. But he ain't on the throne. The throne don't matter. That's the king right there. If I got any sense, what am I going to do? Let me forsake Saul and get with this shepherd boy. Can I carry your staff for you, sir? Let me get with you. Oh, some sheep escaping? I'll go get them, sir. Don't worry, I get them. Because when you get to that throne, guess what? You remember me. You got to be able to see with spiritual eyes what's going on. See, everybody ain't coming out to be with David because they don't know he's the king. But the spiritual eyes, the Bible says, this does not come with observation, for the kingdom of heaven is where? Within you. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, neither can you enter into it. You've got to know where leadership is spiritually, because it ain't in the church house. He's going to overturn it. He's going to overturn it and give it to him whose right it is. All the nights you spent praying, crying, waiting on God, this aching you feeling inside of you, man, you're bearing precious seed. You've been planting with no reaping. You've been seeking God and no evidence of God showing up. You've been begging God, ain't seeing no breakthroughs. Man, he's going to overturn that thing. I'm going to overturn it. I'm going to overturn it. And I'm going to give it to him whose right it is. The weeping endures for the night, but the joy comes in the morning. God has got to do this thing all by himself now. The wrong people are in place. Man, before there's a David, there's a Saul.
Yes. Yes.
Before there's a Christ, there's an Antichrist. It's always nighttime before the morning. He says, when you see that day star dawning in your heart, when you see that thing arising in your heart, man, you know the thing is coming up.
Yes.
says when you see all these things happening, homosexual marriages, lesbianism, your daughter's a lesbian, your boy's a homosexual, perversion everywhere. He says, look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. This ain't no time to be sad. Man, it's time to rejoice. Because he's going to do what? I will overturn it. I will overturn it. I will overturn it. And I'll give it to him whose right it is. You fooling around with Almighty God. This is an Almighty God. This is not a man that he should lie. Neither is it a son of man that he should repent. If I said it, I will do it. If I spoke it, I will bring it to pass. That's what the man said. That's what the man meant. Man, God hears all prayers. God stores up a day and a time and an hour to bring forth his church.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The Bible plainly says he is faithful that has promised.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You wait on it, and he'll do it. I have not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that wait on him. Man, please. He'll save your son. He'll save your daughter. Put them on the altar and leave them there. Leave them on the altar. Leave them alone. Stop talking to them. And turn them over to God. This is an Almighty God. The Bible plainly tells us, the yoke shall be taken from off of your neck. The anointing will break that yoke. I don't think about no demons, man. All we need is the anointing to break a yoke. We're sitting here watching all these clowns parading around through the media talking about they serve God. They have nothing to do with this. They have nothing to do with God. Has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost in the Bible. These are just clowns. These are just ambassadors of Satan sent to tie us up and think about what they're saying and doing. And God says, look, don't worry about it, man. I'm going to overturn this thing. I will overturn. I will overturn. I'm not looking for a man to do this. I'm coming to see about this myself. Hey, when Sodom and Gomorrah was going under, he didn't send no angels. God came walking down through the camp. So where you going, God? I'm going down to Sodom and Gomorrah. The crowd of that city is coming before me. And their prayers have been building before me like incense. You can't pray all day and all night and God not come and see about what you're praying about. He will respond. But you got to put that thing on the altar and leave it there. There is nothing God uses that's not coming from him. And everything that comes from him must be returned to him. If he gave you a child, you got to give that child back. Yes. Hannah had to give Samuel back. You got to give it back, man. He will require you to return it to him. You got to turn it loose. I gave you a body. I want your body back. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I gave you a body. Now bless God. Give me my body back. You got to give it back. That's the problem. Religion's got you holding on to it. Man, give the man his things back. Return back to God what he gave. And God will sanctify it holy. And God will use it. And God will consecrate it. God's got control of this thing, man. This thing got any out of control. He's got complete control. He's an almighty God. He says he descended first, then he ascended, that he might fill all things. And Jesus said, listen, all power has been given unto me. This thing ain't out of control, man. There ain't no problems. Like Shamba used to say years ago, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God.
Hallelujah!
It's time to stop being religious. It's time to stop playing. It's time to get down, like my mom used to say, get down brown skin with the devil and pray through to a breakthrough. Pray through until something happens. Pray through until an anointing falls. Pray through until there's a difference made. Pray through until God can overturn. You got to strive with God like Jacob until he overturns. You got to let God overturn this thing, man. The right folks are not in place. This ain't the church. This is religion. Man, we got to see the church come alive now. You folks listening by way of live stream, get up off of your seat and contribute to this thing, and let's raise this thing up out of the ground, man. And get this thing standing up as a light in the midst of darkness. The Bible says in the midst of darkness, there's shone forth a great light. Darkness comes before the dawn. Jesus walked in austere conditions, religious conditions, hopelessness. Rome had taken over Israel. And in the midst of that darkness, the Son of God. The Son of God. The Bible says like a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by everybody. Surely he has borne our transgressions. Listen, this thing is set up by God perfectly.
Yes.
This is the perfect setup. Why are you walking around depressed and looking down and worried? Man, this is perfect. Perfect. For Jesus to be seen, you got to have a stark contrast between the clean and the unclean. He said, make a difference. You stand yourself up next to Jakes or Dollar and these folks. They look like clowns. Folk try to strive inside of them. They know what you're saying is true. Cognitive dissonance got you trying to fight what you know is true. You know it's the truth. I start telling folk, you know what I'm telling you is right. You can argue, debate, you can turn, call me judgmental, call me unloving. What I'm telling you is right, and you know it's right. And I ain't backing down from it not one inch. I'm not intimidated by anybody, because this is right. You got to make a stand. The Bible says, having done all to stand, bless God, stand therefore with your feet sharp with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to be able to stand, man, in all still conditions. One thing's for sure, somebody's right, somebody's wrong. There ain't no gray areas. We're eliminating the gray areas in the fence. The fence is on fire. You jump right, you jump left. Because this thing coming down to the wire. God ain't looking for no 5 million people to come pour it in here to build nothing. All he needs is this, a couple of people, one person sometime. It was just one Joseph, just one Samuel, one David. To be a game changer. You think the folk that killed Stephen didn't hear what Stephen said?
Oh, that's right.
He read their mail. But guess what God was after? He was after Saul. You saw he threw the cloaks at the feet of Saul that became Paul. That was what it was all about. He was after Paul all along. So you can't read this thing on the surface. He knocked Paul off of a horse on his way to Damascus. He said, man, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Who are you? I don't even know who you are. I'll tell you how you're going to find out who I'm going to strike you blind, boy. Struck him blind, changed his name to Paul, sent him to all the Gentile nations of the world. And he was driven because in his mind he was thinking, Stephen, I was guilty of killing these folk. That's what drove him. I got to make amends for what I did. And God lets you go through all this stuff for a time and a season. So when you make your stand this time, you'll be invincible. All the bridges burn behind you.
Yes.
And going back. I'm not going back. I'm through with religion. I'm through with trying to please people. I done been through the anguish of trying to please people. My mama wrote me. I tried to please her. My daddy wrote me. I tried to please him. My sisters, my brothers, my first husband, my second husband, my third husband, my wife, my auntie, my grandmama. I done tried to please all these people on my job. I done tried to live up and down to their expectations. I'm through. I'm not putting forth any more energy to please anybody. I'm going vertical, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. He had to send you through all of that for you to die to the flesh, to be alive to him. And he's going to overturn. He's going to overturn and overturn it and give it to him who's right it is. Some people who have to wait a long time for things are the ones that are lined up for the blessing. They don't even understand, man, everybody else seen it begin to bless but me. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. An end time work is afoot now. God is going to create power marriages now for him. It ain't going to have nothing to do with you loving nobody and no relationship. You know, ain't about that no more. You get married now because you got to do something that God has called you to do. And he's already formatted you to stand with somebody that's going to be on the same wavelength as you. So it won't be all that animosity and striving in a home and debating and arguing and all that other junk that's hanging things up. You go through for the sake of them so you can tell them what to avoid. You went through what you went through to be able to tell somebody what to avoid and not to do. He had to send you through hell so you can leave and relieve somebody else from going through hell.
Thank you, Lord.
You got to see what God is and how he is. You got to have forerunners in this thing that can take the heat to burn off the flesh so the next folk don't have to pay the same price you had to pay. That's what you try to tell your boneheaded kids. But they got to go through because you told them. But let God have it, man. Take your hands off the altar. Stop worrying about this stuff. Folks too anxiety stricken and worried about the outcome. If he got to boneheaded you, he can get to anybody. Why would you think that God is out of the business of working now? Because the environment looks so dark. That's what's doing it. Like, this is so bad that God can't work in this. You better study again. You studied long, but you studied wrong. He's going to overturn this thing. Stand to your feet if you will. Lord, religion is a monster. Hate it. But you work at the confines of religion to bring out a treasure. The Bible says you bought the whole world to get out a treasure. You know what's stored in religion? There are jewels stored in religion that you have called. The word is going to go forth and rescue them out of religion. They are being forged in religion to know what not to do. You got to go through the wrong to know what's right. They've seen the control and the manipulation of trying to pay tithes and twisting folks' arms and folk living down to the expectations of a preacher and trying to conform. They've seen the witchcraft and the sorcery. They've seen the worship of personalities. And they tell themselves, I'm never going to be involved in this anymore. I've seen the wrong, so I can do right. God, it's a masterful stroke of genius that you called an elect people for a time and a season, and now is that time. Overturn it and raise up the people that you've called to be heavyweights in these last days. People that will stand on the word and remain faithful and not bow to the dictates of the beast. In Jesus' name. Before we go, anybody here knowing you're lost and damned to hell if you leave here today, if you come up here, we'll pray for you to be saved from a burning hell. Hell is real and the deal is going down now. You fool around with this now, you're going to go to hell. Because every tick of the clock means that that minute passed and you're closer to your demise, not knowing when you're going to die. Every tick of the clock, you're closer to your death, not knowing when it can occur. That's what you got to be weighing inside of yourself. Every day, every hour, every minute, every second is borrowed time. Because you don't know when you're scheduled to leave here. If God intervenes and introduces himself to you in a way along the trail, if he comes to contact you, that's the hand of grace to make sure you make it in when you leave here, not knowing when you'll leave here. A lot of promises in the Bible. One promise not made is tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. You can die tonight. If you know you're lost, come up here. We'll pray for you to be saved from your eternal damnation in hell. Kid yourself all you want to. You will go to hell if you're not saved. It ain't funny, it ain't cute, and it ain't pretty, but it is what it is. You keep fooling around with this world, and the devil has set up a systematic way to damn your soul. Systematically doing it. Embedding in your mind and in your intellect, in your very persona, the things that are the enemy of God to make sure you're damned. I'm telling you, this ain't no time to play, man. This is no time to play with God and play with the devil and play with this world. This world is totally corrupted and contaminated. I preach it hard. I live it hard. I believe it hard. Because this is a dirty deal. The devil's orchestrating. But you got to turn this thing over to God now. Because there's nothing a human can do about this. At some point, you got to turn this thing over to the Lord. For real, for real. By way of the internet, if you're on live stream, you know you're not saved. Stop fooling around with your religious self, pretending that you're saved. Stop pretending religiously that you're saved. When you know you're not saved. You tune in every week, pretending like you know what you're talking about, or you got some kind of belief system, or you're on one accord with this, knowing you're not saved. Stop before you end up in hell, having deceived yourself. Stand up by way of live stream and pray this prayer to get yourself saved for real. And stop playing with God. You are here. Pray this prayer with the Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this world is contaminating my soul. I'm bound to it and chained to it. The devil has strongholds in me that are cursing my life. I need help. I sincerely ask you to help me. I'm turning away from this world 180 degrees. God, save my soul. Regenerate my spirit. Renew my mind. Birth me again. So I can know you. I need serious help. These demons of the world, the music, the entertainment, and religion. It's binding me. Loose me from it, God. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Born of a virgin. He died on a cross. Shed his blood for me. He resurrected on the third day. And he ever lives to make intercession for me. I trust him alone to save me. His blood and the finished work of the cross that annihilates the nature that binds me. Release me from it. In Jesus' name. And birth my spirit and bring me out fresh. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things are new. In Jesus' name. Right now, God, I pray that the Holy Ghost come upon them. In the name of Jesus, baptize and fill them with the Holy Ghost and fire. We can't live this life without the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of God breathe on them and regenerate their spirits and bring them alive to God. In Jesus' name, by way of the internet live stream, send the Holy Ghost to fill their souls. Break that hold of the devil off of them. And lift them up to a new place, God. Tired of this life. Overturn it, God. Overturn it. Overturn everything. and bring a fresh anointing, a wind to blow through the world, God. This is a dark, foreboding place, and you're sick of it. God, come on. Come on. Raise these folks up in Jesus' name. Right now, God, I pray for her right now that she be filled with the Holy Ghost and power. Let the Holy Ghost come upon her. Anything that's bound her life, I break the holes of that bondage right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let the power of God overshadow her, God, and lift her up to another place in you. You got a special place for her. Bring this thing alive in her, God. Regenerate her from head to toe. That she can be a new creation in you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, it's time for a new thing. You say you'll spring forth a new thing. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Remember, religion is a big, huge, ugly monster. Don't become religious. Get away from all the histrionics and all the play acting and all the foolishness of religion. Get your mind healed up and be made whole again. All the junk you do in religion is a waste of time. Let the Holy Ghost really move you into a relationship that's based on a submitted, committed, disciplined life before God. Get back to the Bible, get back to prayer, get back to fasting, get back to praise and worship. Get back to the mechanics that will just make you normal again. There ain't a bunch of jumping around, running and shouting and acting a fool. It's about an academic discipline before the living God. So that when God sends you out to do a work, you're not weird and strange and crazy. You become a vessel fit for the master to use. Remember Dunamis Tabernacle. Support Dunamis Tabernacle by way of the internet. 1,500 people last week. By Monday morning, 1,200 people have seen this message. Don't just listen. Get up and support the message. Get up and support the message. We're looking to do another thing, a new work. A new world order requires a new church order to deal with this stuff. We can't have the same old silly leadership running around looking crazy, having mega fest. It's time for a new breed of Christian to come forth. Support Dunamis Tabernacle, www.omegaministries.org. Hit support and donate. Support and donate and give. You can also give at Post Office Box 960146, Riverdale, Georgia 30296. Make checks payable to Omega Ministries. It's about Dunamis Tabernacle, a place, a base camp, to set up a logistical center to support the saints on the ground around the world. By cyberspace, you can have tools available to everybody worldwide, globally, with a click of a button. That's what we endeavor to do. Also remember the organic gospel book. Read it. It's a good study tool. It's all about how the gospel works as contrasted with what they're telling you. The gospel is planted, it's sown in seed form, and grows out of you organically. Go to theorganicgospel.net, www.theorganicgospel.net, and get a copy of the book. It's just $13.95 there. And use it as a tool to not only equip yourself but others with the information that entails that the gospel is organically grown out of the hearts of saints everywhere. Pray. Keep us in prayer. Keep the ministry in prayer. Join the prayer line every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1-805-399-1000, 1-805-399-1000, access code 409-367. 409-367. This is a prayer line. It's not for communal talking and gibberish and foolishness and praying about yourself. Pray to God for the sake of souls and his will to be done. It's a prayer line. Stop letting the devil make a religious nut out of you and get on with praying to God. Everything is so simple, but the religious mind can make it so complicated. Get rid of those religious spirits by getting rid of the fact that you're a religious spirit. Yes. Religious spirits commune with religious spirits. You're a religious spirit, so the devil's religious spirits operate through you. Get rid of that stupid religious spirit you got through mental ascending to what we're saying and not letting it transform you. You just know about the stuff that we say. You're not transformed by it because you're just religious. It's kept in the outer court of your soul, not letting it absorb into your spirit to change you. Stop and let God really metamorphosize you as a person. That's going to wrap it up for this week. See you back here next week. Keep everybody in prayer. Stay away from stuff that will defile you. Stay away from crazy people. And for God's sake, stay out of the matrix.
Anybody needs parking?